friends, it's Trevor, it's Pat, it's Dr. James Dean Stefano. The NFC Championship game is upon us. Big plays from Saquon Barkley and Jalen Carter help seal a snowy game against the Rams. The Eagles now face Jaden Daniels and the Commanders at home with a chance to go back to the Super Bowl. Quinyon Mitchell and Jalen Hurts will both play Sunday despite suffering injuries in the game. Can the Birds get back to the big game? The Flyers pick up points in five straight games and find themselves in the thick of the wild card race. Ivan Fedotov is officially named the backup goaltender. Ryan Poehling is placed on injured reserve, and Rodrigo Eboles is called up. Danny Briere speaks to the media. Are any moves expected? The Sixers' dismal season slogs on as Joel Embiid remains out with knee swelling. Is it time to roll out the tank? Philly's legend Billy Wagner is selected to the Hall of Fame along with Ichiro Suzuki and CeCe Sabathia. All that and more coming up right now. How's it going, fellas?
Pretty good. Just now thawing out from Sunday, drying off as well, so can't complain. Freezing my ass off, though. Actually, no, I'll take that back. I can't complain. It's been cold as fuck the last day. But other than that, not too bad. Head off yesterday, so got back to work today. Worked, you know, read my emails, and that was about it. But we're back. Dean, thanks for jumping on here.
Yeah, of course. Happy to be here. Big shoes to fill, missing out on Avery, and some other assholes are too busy demoing their kitchen to be here.
Yeah.
But, you know, we'll look past that. That's fine. But yeah, it's miserably cold. It's terrible outside. I felt like I was going to die coming here, but the Birds are in this championship game, so can't really complain about much.
Mm-mm. Feels good to be back.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very cold. I was working from home today, so it wasn't that bad. But I did have to leave to go to the pet store. But it wasn't windy, so it wasn't like... I feel like the wind is just 100% the only thing that really matters. Like, it can be like 10 degrees, and if it's not windy, it's not that bad. But if it's windy, it's just...
It still has that shock factor, though. If you're in the house for too long, you know, you like come out, like, oh, I'll just pop out, take the trash out real quick with no jacket on. You're like, oh, it's cold. It's cold.
Yeah.
You know, it's that 32 to 45. You're like, all right, like it's winter, but it's not that bad. Once you get single digit, that shit's fucked up. No one needs to be living like this.
No, I went outside to clean my car off finally after the snow on Sunday, and I forgot to take my gloves with me. And
I
immensely regretted it. I had to go back in and run my hands under hot water for like 10 minutes before I could feel them again.
Yeah, your hands get all like cracked up. You get all nasty. You're like, oh my God, the motor skills just die off.
Yeah.
None of that, though, on Sunday. It wasn't that cold. It was fun. It was electric. Kind of makes it feel better that way when it's like... I mean, the Giants game, last game of the year, was arguably colder. But because it was so meaningless, it was just very still. So you got cold real fast, even though the sun was up all day. But I'll take 35 and snowing. That was fine. You're jumping up and down. You're pumped up. You got a fireball in your veins. It felt good.
Yeah, man. Did you guys watch the inauguration?
I did not. Just the highlights.
The highlights. Yeah, I did not either. But yeah, I did see some of the, you know, they had the, I don't know, what announcements did he make? We're going to Mars, I believe.
We're planting the red, white, we're planting the stripes. Planting stars the and stripes red, white, on Mars. Blue.
We're going to Mars. We're still taking over Greenland. Mm-hmm. We're taking over the Panama Canal. It's the Gulf of America now.
Gulf of America.
Oh, I did see that Mount Denali in Alaska is going to be back to Mount McKinley. We're going to change that for no reason, apparently.
Nice. McKinley, the president that everyone remembers and loves.
Which I didn't realize. Silly me. I was like, damn, they didn't have to have the fucking truck first. But no, I didn't realize that Denali was like it's like all empowering or all great one or something like that. So for thousands of years, it's been known as that. And they're like, some old white president was like, nah, I want to be called that. So they called him Mount McKinley. Then we change it back. And now we're going to change it back. It's fucked. It's going to be a lot of that, I feel like, happening.
Yeah, I had that. And, going to Mars. I think it'll be funny if
I'm into. That I'm not opposed.
I mean, it'd be cool. But I just think it would be funny if they, you know, faked it. Like, you know, the whole moon landing conspiracy thing.
I feel like it's easy to fake the moon landing because it was all black and white back then. So it's a little hard even now to be like, is this shit real? But kind of looks like it could be
They're
real.
They're going to use AI technology.
Mars is going to be way too CGI. You'll be like, no, this is definitely fake. Like, I've seen this before in a movie. I've seen Interstellar. Relax.
Yeah. I feel like these days people, you know, whoever would be in charge of making the fake movie would just be too I don't know. They just wouldn't be able to restrain themselves, and they would just use AI to put like some kind of like alien in the background or something, or just some kind of wild shit.
They're like, oh my god, why is that alien that got massive titties? They're like, I don't know. They're here in Mars. They're walking around.
That's how it is here.
Yeah.
This is real.
Yeah, we didn't find this with the little rover thing, but once we sent guys there, we discovered all of this. Yeah.
Is Elon going to be the one who's in charge of getting us to Mars? That's my question.
I guess. I mean, it's...
He mentioned it too, which I don't understand. This whole Department of, Efficiency or whatever he's doing?
Well, that's a whole separate thing. I mean, yeah, they put him in the in charge of the Department of Governmental Efficiency, which is to, like, you know, cut the budget and reduce the deficit and get rid of all the excessive red tape in the government. But, yeah, I think they're also kind of going to basically privatize the whole space program, which is going to go great, I'm sure.
What could go wrong? But I saw that Trump couldn't button his jacket. That was like a highlight. He was out front. It was cold. He tried to button his jacket up, couldn't do it. So he got mad and just went back down with it.
Yeah. And that.
The Nazi salute.
Nazi salute.
You know, I mean, that was a big one.
Wild.
It was just an autistic salute, apparently.
Yeah.
The salute's so nice, he did it twice. That was nuts. Within like 5 minutes.
Yeah.
He was throwing his heart out to the audience.
Yeah, exactly.
That famous thing that people do all the time and we all know about.
Yeah, that was some people were like, oh, that was CGI. I'm like, it's not a CGI image.
It's
gonna be
a
long
fake,
4 years
man.
Of this stuff.
Yeah, it's just it's the era of fakeness, basically. We got AI, we got everyone believes in weird conspiracy shit. You know, we have like fake cryptocurrency. We got nice some more rug pull meme coins coming out. I think the Trump coin came out that went up and then it just tanked like every single one of these things. But speaking of meme coin, did you guys see like the pastor guy who was at the inauguration who was just you know, taking everybody to church?
All I saw
was,
where do they find this fucking guy?
Yeah, dude. But yeah, I saw, who was his name? Pastor, I don't know. But so he put out this video today. Hold on a second.
I need you to do me a favor right now. I need you to go buy the official Lorenzo Sewell coin. I want you to be able to see politics become manifest, not just in a way where we're praying over political gatherings, but where we're seeing us become the hands and the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you help me? Would you help us in this endeavor? Would you go and purchase the coin in order for us to do what we need to do in the ministry? We do transportation, housing, education. We heal medical, mental, and dental illnesses. I need you to do me a favor and go and get that coin in order for us to accomplish the vision that God has called us to do in our earth. I give God glory for what he has done, but we know that King's dream can only be fulfilled if we acknowledge that people are living in a nightmare. So here's your...
I love invoking Martin Luther King at the end.
At the very end?
Measure.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
Hands and feet? I never heard that before.
He's curing the medical, the mental, and the dental illnesses.
Is that what he said at the end? I was like, what's dental. That third part?
Yeah. Yeah.
Although, respect, because people overlook that, too.
You need separate insurance for that.
That's a new one. He got me sold now.
Yeah.
This is definitely not a scam, and you're not buying me a new house. You're curing the medical illnesses.
This totally feels like it would be a subplot on Righteous Gemstones.
Oh, well, yeah.
Definitely.
Next season, there probably will be a crypto subplot. I would be shocked if there's not at this point.
Yeah.
Well, hold on, name of our Lord Jesus
fake,
Christ.
Man.
And MLK.
I saw this, people talking about how like that movie, The Brutalist, that won Best Picture at Golden Globe, apparently has been outed as using some AI shit in that movie.
What?
Everything's fake. Apparently, I guess because like Adrian Brody's character is Hungarian, and I guess whatever, when they had lines in Hungarian, they like took his voice, but then also put it through some kind of AI thing to like help with the accent or something.
It was very good. Like, it was believable. I will say, having seen it, I was like,
you saw it?
Yeah.
I'd like to see it.
I couldn't tell if it was AI. I mean, I don't know, but it looked good. It sounded good.
Yeah, it's also a kind of, I don't know, I feel like there's certain things where before people would have just called it computer graphics or special effects or whatever, but now just everything is just called AI.
T-Pain's like, damn, dog, what the I went through all this fucking shit. Now everyone's doing this.
Yeah, like putting auto tune on something would just be, people just, although, if that came out today, people would say it's an AI filter, you know?
Although, to be fair, Adrian Brody in The Pitness, wasn't he a, he played a Polish person and he had an accent there?
Yeah, I mean, back in the day, actors just had to learn Hungarian.
I feel like, I mean, I don't know, he did speak a little bit, but it's mostly just like an English accent.
It's surprising to me because Adrian Brody is actually really good at accents, as evidenced by this appearance on Saturday Night Live.
Your man, Jamaica, man, you know, Rastafari, you know, you got the whole family in the house, you know, we got Sean Peter, you know, you got Sean Paul, you got Sean Mary, you got Sean John, you know, we all in the house now, man. You know, respect all aspects, you know, me respect, me next spec, me knee spec, me ankle spec, you know. We got a great show, you know, and a Kingston massive, yeah. But,
I think it keeps going.
We got the whole crew now, you know. I want to give a big up, enough respect, a dancehall players, you know. And a Sean John!
Damn. Yeah, I mean, if he could pull that off, I don't know why he couldn't pull off the Hungarian accent without AI.
The Brutalist was totally 100%.
They apparently, like, asked him not to do that. He did anyway and hasn't been invited on SNL since. Oh, he's wearing, like, the dreadlock wig and everything. Oh, man.
He's committed classic to the bit. I appreciate
that. You gotta respect it, honestly. You gotta respect it.
Give that man an Oscar.
Yeah.
Which I think he should get. I mean, it was a great movie. AI in there or not with the voiceover shit. I didn't notice, but it was good.
I haven't seen that many movies this year, I guess, that are, I don't know. I saw I saw Conclave. That was good, but.
Oh, Conclave.
I do want to check out The Brutalist.
I think I've seen literally none of the things that are nominated for awards.
Yeah.
I think it's just The Brutalist for me. Although Challengers was on that too. I did see that. That was good. For most original soundtrack.
Yeah.
But speaking of getting on track, though.
Yeah.
We can talk about this game.
Birds.
Yeah. Beat the Rams. I will say Jared Verse, enemy number one. But he did his thing. He showed out.
Yeah, he was good, you know.
I can respect him. He talked shit, but he at least backed it up.
He backed it up, I mean, big time.
That guy's a beast.
Almost every other player, like, fuck, all right, well, he's the man. He kept, like, flipping us off and doing the little down thumbs. And he was into it. He owned the villain mantra, which I respected. And at the end of the game, he said that he respected Eagles fans because we were throwing snowballs and booing him. But he was like, you guys stood on business. I stood on business. The game went the way it did, but then went back. It was really cute. You know, it was nice. He did wait till the very end, though, to come off. But I had a snowball just for him, and I got him.
Nice. Right. You made the leg.
You know? Well, it had to be. Oh, yeah. The problem is when you're throwing a snowball at the end of the game, the crowd dissipates. So you don't want anyone to know that you're throwing the snowball. So you got to, like, kind of wing that shit out.
Yeah, sidearm it a little bit.
Yeah, you know, it can't be too obvious. I've already been kicked out once. Can't be doing that again.
Yeah, you can't be suspended for the.
They need me NFC for next week. Yeah, I know, can't dude. Be, you know, it can't you be out on the roster like that. But no, great, great environment. I will say playoff football in the snow like that, 10 out of 10 experience that way.
Yeah, it looks like it'd be fun to be at. You know,
it was amazing for sure. And not a lot of Rams fans, which also made it really nice. It was just all Eagles fans.
There aren't a lot of Rams fans.
Yeah, there aren't a lot of Rams fans in Los Angeles.
But still, you know.
You'd have to be like an LA Rams fan. You have to be a really old Rams fan or a really new one, you know.
It's true. But I anticipate that to change this weekend. But it was nice. Good little snowy weather. Obviously, Saquon did his thing, but I talked a lot of shit about defending Jalen Hurts in the passing game. But how we feel about Hurts right now?
Honestly, I'm not I mean, the only reason why I'm concerned is because I don't know how injured he is. But outside of that, while he definitely made some mental mistakes and took some sacks, probably should have thrown away a couple times. Overall, I didn't find it that concerning. Just the fact they didn't, like, rack up that many yards. I mean, if you consider he had two deep balls that could have been catches. I mean, the one to Devontae at the beginning of the game gets popped out on a play that was flat, ended up being a flag. So that's not really on him. And then A.J. Brown drops that ball. He had another big passing play to Goddard that got called back on an illegal man downfield. So he had some plays, you know. It's. I mean, the whole thing with the passing game is still not where I would like it to be. But I think, you know, as we were kind of talking about last week, it's good chance it'll be enough to win two more games. You know, they're doing enough. But yeah, I mean, that the thing with the passing game, I think, goes a lot deeper than just Jalen Hurts. But I actually thought that he had a decent game, and especially after he got rolled up on there, I thought it was, you know, kind of a gutsy performance to, you know, finish it out.
Yeah, I mean, we've been saying the same stuff about the passing game for, you know, what, 18 weeks of regular season and now two playoff games. So, like, the past 20 weeks, it's been like, well, they've been winning, but the passing game could be better. But, you know, at the end of the day, they have been winning. Another one home win away from being into the Super Bowl. It's like, you know, yeah, I would love it if the passing game was a little more efficient and prolific, but maybe they can actually just win this all on the basis of their run game, their defense.
Yeah. I was going to say, like, oh, well, it was the weather, but you look across the field and Matthew Stafford had 320 yards on the air. I mean, yeah. But a lot of those balls, too. I mean, you know, wide open looks or just kind of a deep Hail Mary kind of pass, and they came down with it. I mean, that kind of weather, it's a 50-50 toss, even if you are wide open. Like, the chance of you catching that ball, a lot of those guys caught it laying down and jumping on the ground, whatever. But, yeah, I think Hurts had a good game. I mean, there were definitely some – you know, he still took 7 sacks, which is a lot. Now, right. They're not all on him because the weather doesn't make it easy to throw the ball away necessarily. You know, you risk – popping the ball out, or, you know, look at Stafford getting the ball popped out here and there. So that comes into play as well. I think the only thing I was really concerned about was the safety sack. I think that they're probably at that point, I'm in it if you want to just try to throw it away or do something. But that was a crucial part in the game. You're only up by maybe 5 at that point, 4 if anything. And then it came a 2 or 3 point game.
I think they were only up by 3
and made it a 1 point game. I think I made it 15-16.
So it was not ideal, but. Yeah, all in all, I think he did well. I think that game was a big game of him managing the offense. And I'm not saying it in like a – I feel like sometimes people put it as a negative connotation when a quarterback's just a game manager. But in the playoffs, if you can change a look to make that Saquon run go from a 10-yard run to an 80-yard pop-off for a touchdown and trust in your O-line and what Saquon's saying to you, that's also a huge factor too that gets kind of overlooked, right? It's almost like the O-line position where – you might call out the blitz and linebacker and block him, and no one sees it. You get a nice touchdown to A.J. Brown. They're like, oh, okay, but really it was Landon who helped you get that. So I think that those plays are what's kind of been his creme de la creme in the playoffs. And to your point, like, you play great run offense, and the defense plays like it does. Who can stop it?
Yeah. But I guess how concerned are you guys about if he's – going to be healthy for this game, because he was definitely pumped full of truck. This is Jalen Hurts after the game.
Well, I don't know if it'll snow next week, but rain, sleet, or snow, Eagles train to go. We'll be ready to go.
Do you love playing in the snow?
I love playing football. How about that? I used to put it on when we played a video game as a kid. I put the snow on 100 and all that, but that was as a kid.
Yeah, he was a little fucked up for sure after that game. There's no way
he's
not.
He's full of drugs.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I definitely say I'm a little concerned. Like, I think obviously he's going to play. Like, you know, the fact that he suffered the injury and then managed to come back into the game and finish the game means we avoided catastrophe at least. Like, he didn't, you know, tear an ACL or have something that is a long-term injury that he definitely cannot play through. But he also, at the same time, clearly was not healthy and did not look as mobile as he normally is. And I think it's going to have, you know, effects on the quarterback designed run game and therefore the run game in general. You know, looking at what happened to him, it looks like he kind of, you know, got tackled and had like hyperflexion of the left leg, which, you know, to me, I'd guess he probably either has like a quad tendon strain or a PCL injury, potentially, maybe MCL or LCL. Those would be the other possibilities, which like are all things you can play through if they're minor, but it's going to be an issue of like pain tolerance and swelling. And like, I, you know, certainly don't think he's going to be able to be as mobile as he normally is. And I don't know if we're going to be able to involve the QB run game like we usually do, which, you know, does make me a little bit worried, because when they played the Commanders last time, once Hurts went out and Pickett went in, the run game got shut down pretty hard.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that, I think in a report later today did come out and say that it was like an MCL type of injury, so that nailed it on the head that way. And I think that's your biggest thing, too, is that it's the pain tolerance. I mean, he's had lingering knee injuries a season ago, so he's used to kind of playing with that same thing. At the same time, it's not his planting foot, which is good. I guess. So that helps if he is forced to throw the ball off his right foot. At the same time, I don't know. I'm not super concerned with the injury. I think the fact that he came back out and they put him out there in that weather condition, if they thought he was hurt or even like moderately hurt, they would have probably kept him out. Not saying that it's not a thing to think about, but you know, I think that it could have been a lot worse. Quinyon being back is huge as well. He said he'd be back ready to play, a light shoulder injury, so
yeah, that was really concerning to me.
I will say, though, Isaiah Rodgers showing out like he did was a huge confidence
boost. He was all right, yeah. He got that big fumble recovery.
Yeah. So that's a big, you know, if anything, just to get practice like that playing with the other starters is huge. You know, I mean, obviously playing cornerback in a shitty weather game probably is to your benefit to be in there in a jam. You're not, you know, in a dome or somewhere nice, but I'll take it. But I think Hurts is going to be fine. Does that mean he's going to throw for 300 yards and have three touchdowns? Probably not. But the Washington defense is susceptible to that kind of stuff. I mean, his last game, he did pop off, you know, 21 points in the first quarter before he did go out. But, you know, I think, yeah, him not being able to run will be a huge, you know, downside for that game next week.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you look at Josh Allen's stats, he had the same – almost identical passing stats.
Yeah.
And nobody talked, you know, he's MVP caliber quarterback, big playoff game at home, and he kind of has a what would be considered a dud game. But because it's Josh Allen, they're like, oh, wow, hey, great game. He got a win, you know, tough team. They did it, fought through adversity. Jalen Hurts in the fucking snow throws for 130. They're like, oh, guess he can't fucking throw the ball.
Yeah, I mean, Jalen does definitely get judged unfairly in this sense. Yeah, I mean, you can talk about the game that Josh Allen had. You can talk about how, like, the Kansas City Chiefs offense has looked the entire year, which has been kind of similar to how the Eagles have looked. Obviously, they have a much more impressive track record. They're in, like, their seventh consecutive AFC championship game. They've won multiple Super Bowls. Like, yeah, sure, I get that. But, you know, they're credited with being able to flip the switch, which, like, the Eagles are not getting that credit right now, which I understand. But, you know, I do think they have that extra gear in them. They have the talent, they have the offensive line, they have the elite wide receiver talent. They've got her back healthy now. I think if they need to get the passing game in order to win a game, they are capable of doing it.
I mean, I'm you know, feeling pretty good about it.
What was your highlight for the game last week?
Probably,
or any player that stood out that was like, this was unexpected.
I mean, I guess nothing like unexpected. I mean, obviously Saquon was the big highlight, but I think guy who got us the win at the end was Jalen Carter. I mean, how scared were you guys during that final drive? Because I was watching this and I was just thinking the whole time, like, this is going to be another classic collapse moment. Like, we, you know, had a chance to get a NFC championship game at home as the 2 seed and blew it. And blah, blah, blah. And, like, you know, I was just like, this is all happening right now. And Jalen Carter comes up with 2 huge plays, gets that big sack on 3rd down. And then the very next play gets the pressure to force a bad throw to steal the game. But, yeah, I don't know. How are you guys feeling on that?
I was fucking terrified. Yeah. I was terrified.
I thought for sure we were losing.
Yeah, I did too. I mean, well, it was a wild swing of emotions. I mean, when Saquon broke off that, you know, what, 78-yard touchdown run, I was like, okay, that's game. It's over. Yeah. This is great. Like, hell yeah, we're going to the championship game. It's going to be at home. We're going to the Super Bowl. It's awesome. And then they let the Rams score on like a 10-play like, drive bing, that bong, takes bing. 1 minute. And it's like, oh, shit. And then the Eagles go 3-and-out. It's like, oh, no. This is going to be one of the worst losses we've ever witnessed in our lives. Once the Eagles went 3-and-out and the Rams got back on the field after having had so much success on the prior drive, I was convinced they were going to score again. And I was basically, at that point, resigned to being like, okay, I hope they score fast enough that we have time to then score back. And that was like where my head was at.
Enough time to set up Jake Elliott for a missed field goal.
A double.
Well, that was the other thing too, is you know, Jake Elliott, to his credit, he did come up with a few field goals in horrible conditions, but missed 2 extra points, and that would have been the difference in the game had the Rams scored on that final drive. You know, it should have been, they would have needed to convert a two pointer just to tie it. But as it was, they would have won with just an extra point.
We just have to tell him that every kick is a field goal.
Yeah, they just have to commit a couple delay of game penalties on the extra point and just push it back a little bit. Yeah.
It's wild how inconsistent he is from just an extra point perspective this season. But, you know, I felt good about, I'm not going to lie, I had in the back of my head like that the Atlanta Falcons divisional round game when it was cold out. I was like, you know what? I think the defense is going to find a way to just seal the deal for us because they were our saving grace all game, really. I mean, the offense.
All year.
A couple breakout plays here and there from Saquon. But other than that, the offense was very stagnant. A lot of punts, you know, a lot of field goals as well. But the defense, I never had a doubt when they were on the field. Even when they did give up touchdowns, I was like, all right, you know, like, it is what it is. It's, you know, Matthew Stafford's out here doing his thing. It's a great offense in bad conditions, but they still have a great high-powered receiving core, whatever. But the defense, when they had big plays, they were making big plays, and they showed out. So I was like, you know what? They got it. And it was nervous for sure. My mom was, like, all huddled over. She wasn't even watching the game. I'm like, okay, everybody settle down. But we did it.
Yeah. Jalen Carter got that punch out, too, on that fumble that got recovered.
Nolan Smith was still everywhere. Mauro Jomo had a nice little sack, too. He joined the party. I mean, 5 sacks was great.
Yeah, I mean, I should have, in retrospect, had more faith in defense. They've been so good this year and not like defenses of previous iterations of the Eagles. But I, in the moment, was still shitting myself.
And that's, I mean, we have PTSD from even just last year where the secondary, it was, yeah, if it's a 6-point game, less than a touchdown point game, the defense is going to give up some kind of bomb for a touchdown, right? But now you have Isaiah Rodgers. Slay's been looking like he's been playing out of his mind lately. Cooper DeJean. Like, there's guys that you trust. They're like, you know what? Actually, we are. You know, you might give up a first down and make them come up the field, but they're going to make the offense really have to work for it, right? Waste all that time. And to your point, too, by the time they had that missed throw, there's only like 45 seconds left. Like, they were primed to just waste the clock and get that touchdown and go home with a win for the Rams. But I still felt good about the defense, and they need to show up again this week coming up.
Yeah. Yeah, what else about that game? The fucking I was also losing my mind at when we got that big fumble recovery, how that somehow didn't turn into a touchdown.
I felt none, like a touchdown.
None of the turnovers turned into touchdowns. Yeah. Every turnover they recovered, they kicked a field goal or didn't score.
Yeah.
They literally got like 9 points on 3 turnovers or something.
Yeah. It was right, like Saquon got stopped like inches away from the goal line, and then Lane Johnson false starts in the tush push. It was like, oh my God. But yeah, because that's the other thing. I mean, especially, you know, if you know, say like if we get 6 there, if you know, AJ Brown comes down with that ball at the end of the first half, that's, you know, could have been a touchdown on that play, or at least put them at the 1. Like, this game could have been a lot less close, and then we're probably maybe not having the same concerns about Jalen Hurd conversations and all that. But I mean, you know,
Rams
that's how
had a good
it goes.
Defense too, 7 sacks. I mean, you know, they were eating, they were doing their thing. Sloppy condition or whatnot, but I felt bad because B-Dawg came out of nowhere and, like, did his little crawl and, like, did a handstand. The place was going fucking nuts. They turned all the lights off. It was like, oh, my God. And then the Rams come out and they score a touchdown. We're like, well, fucking killed everything. Like, we all were, like, screaming our mind out, like, oh, this is great. Yeah. Big defensive play. And then they go, like, ding, ding, ding. They were like, well, that sucks.
Yeah.
But they held on. It's playoff football. You're going to have sloppy weather games. You're going to have shit doesn't always work out in your favor. And you wait and hope in a prayer, divisional round. But something has a feeling of that 2017 year where, like, maybe 40-degree weather game, conference championship, whether he's hurt or not, we'll see. But I feel like this is the game where they need to pop off. You got to go into the Super Bowl if you do expect to win Sunday. You got to come in here against Washington, a fucking divisional opponent, and you got to beat the balls off them. You cannot keep it a close game, especially against Washington.
No, you cannot have it be close at the end of the game against this team. Mm-mm. Like, if they're up 6 with, you know, 2 minutes left and Jaden Daniels has the ball, I'm going to be vomiting.
I'm shitting a brick.
Vomiting and shitting simultaneously. Yeah. Like, they need to be ahead by a lot and just put this away early and not give them a chance to win it late, because they've shown they're very good at doing that.
Yeah. I mean, and, you know, going back to, you know, how the run game is going to be affected with Hurts' health or whatever, I mean, the Commanders gave up, what, I think 200 rushing yards against the Lions. I think the Lions had over 500 yards of total offense. So, I mean, it tells you that the Commanders' defense can be had. You know, it's just a matter if they can put everything together and not shoot themselves in the foot, not have any dumb penalties, and just drive down the field and score points. So one big thing in our advantage, too, is that the Commanders lost their best offensive lineman. So that should help. You're going to now have Jalen Carter going up against a backup for most of the game, I would imagine.
That's one of their guards went out?
Yeah, Sam Cosmi, their right guard, tore his ACL.
Yeah. Well, so hopefully they can keep some pressure. I mean, of course, like Jaden Daniels, if of anyone, is probably going to be
elusive,
pretty good at evading pressure.
The only good thing is that you have you have speed on the outside, right? Like Nolan Smith, you know, let's say Carter does break through the middle, which he typically does 10, 20 times a game anyway. If you got a guy that can catch him on the outside when he runs, that's huge. You know, his run factor is going to be scary. One stat I saw, too, is that they're only 1-3 when they rush for less than 100 yards a game. So when we won them the first time, it was 94 close, albeit, but not quite 100 yet. They run for at least 100 yards. They're like, I don't know, 14-1, including playoffs or whatever it is. So, you know, if you can contain their normal run game, Jaden Daniels is going to get his. You know, we played Baltimore and we contained Lamar Jackson. They should have this similar blueprint for that. Force the man to throw the ball. They got Scary Terry, and that's pretty much it. I mean, Zach Ertz will be their dump-off safety valve. But beside that, offensively...
He's been good.
I know, but I'm just saying, and that's okay. You know, he's still a good player, but there's enough on tape that you can contain and kind of force his hand, hopefully, if everybody else plays up to their assignment, right? But, you know, I think that we have a good position. We're going to be at home, kind of Jalen Hurts' revenge game against Washington in a way, you know. Would that game have transpired the way it did if he still stayed in there? Right now, we're on the impression that we would have won that game and been 12-0 in the Baldiani era, but they fucked up and ruined my never lose again moment. So, but we'll see. This is our redemption tour, not just for Hurts, but for me as well.
Yeah, I mean, that game came down to a last moment play while we were playing Kenny Pickett. So, like, right. Yeah, I do think if Hurts was healthy, they win that game. And yeah, fuck Frankie Louvu. That guy sucks. I hate him.
Yeah.
He's gonna be the Jared Verse of next week, I think. Without any redeeming qualities.
Like, right. Except actually just a piece of shit.
Yeah, he's
dirty player.
Just a piece of shit, dirty player.
Yeah.
Cheap shotted Hurts. Mm-hmm. Cheap shotted Goff this past week. Like, screw that guy.
Yeah.
But yeah, the Commanders' run defense definitely can be had. I mean, they were 30th in the league this year at, you know, rushing yards allowed per game. So, like, you know, we know that we can get them on the ground, especially if Hurts is in the game and it's not Kenny Pickett.
Yeah, and I think that's what you saw a lot, too, because once Pickett went in, you didn't really see Saquon pop off like that anymore. But I think that's one of those weird kind of intangible things you don't see Hurts doing at the goal line or, you know, at the line of scrimmage to kind of change up the play that way. So, you know, probably another sub 200 yard passing game if Saquon can keep doing what he's doing and gain well as well offhand. But yeah, nervous, I will say. I probably feel more uneasy than I have the last two playoff games, just given the fact that, you know, you play Washington, divisional opponent, kind of to our benefit that we didn't beat them twice in the regular season.
Yeah, because then you're like, oh, can they really beat them three
statistically,
times?
Statistically, teams don't typically beat teams three times in one season. So 1-1, I'll take that. You know, the rubber match.
Rubber match.
And I'd rather have the rubber match at home. So that's, you know, everything that could go right so far has gone in our favor. All they got to do is execute. I don't know, man.
Yeah, I mean, they're a scary opponent, but ultimately it's pretty awesome that
we get an NFC championship
game at home and are 5.5-point favorites.
Yeah, like, exactly.
They would have been dogs going to Detroit.
Right, exactly.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, if you had told me at the beginning of the playoffs that we were going to be in the NFC Championship game at home against the Commanders, I'd be pretty fucking pumped about that.
Yeah.
So we should be pretty happy about this. Definitely a formidable opponent. I think, you know, the Commanders have pretty much just improved all year. But of all the teams that we could have been facing, I think that this is the one I would probably would want, you know. I mean, even going into that wild card game, I feel like most people would have rather had faced the Commanders and the Packers, and we took care of the Packers. So we'll see.
All this too, it, you know, the way the year started off with all the Nick Sirianni shit and all that stuff, right? I mean, win or lose, let's say we go out there, we win, okay, so that's your second championship game in 3 years, right? You've won both that you've hosted, gone to the Super Bowl, 0-1 so far, to be determined what happens after this week. Let's say he goes out there and loses this week, right? Is the Sirianni out as a head coach? Because it's looking more and more like Kellen Moore might not get a head coaching job somewhere because they're filling up right now. I think a lot of the teams that have a lot of good young talent.
Dallas is still open.
It is, but I think that there's a lot of possibilities out there too for that. But, you know, are people back on the get rid of Sirianni train, or has he kind of solidified his stamp as like, come on now, you know, I can deal with different coordinators every year and have a very productive team?
I think if you make an NFC championship game, you're safe. Yeah, I don't see any way that there's coaching change.
Yeah, I mean, unless he does something true, like monumentally stupid to lose this game. I mean, I can't even like think of what that would be.
They'd like, have to lose like 70-0.
Yeah, like
he's punting on third down. Like,
it's
nearly impossible.
It has some kind of like psychotic episode on the sideline, and you know, pulls Jalen Hurts from the game for no reason. Something truly insane. So yeah, no, not going to happen. I think he's definitely will be here for at least another year for sure.
And yeah, I mean, if he, you know, he's going to stay, and like if Kellen Moore stays, which I don't know if he will. Like he has been doing a lot of interviews. Like I think it is definitely a strong possibility that Jerry Jones hires him because he's a guy he knows. But if he stays, I mean, the last time Jalen Hurts had an offensive coordinator for two consecutive years, he went to the Super Bowl. Yeah. So like I wouldn't necessarily feel the worst about that. Like I think Kellen Moore's been pretty underwhelming this year, but there's, you know, something to be said for continuity, which we really have had very little of in this era of Eagles football.
It's true.
Yeah.
Just had to throw it out there just as a
curiosity. I mean, it's hard to I feel like it's been kind of difficult to evaluate Kellen Moore this year because while it has been kind of underwhelming, it's also like I feel like he hasn't really been given the keys as much as we've been led to believe he was supposed to have. So I don't know. I mean, I do think that certainly the continuity would be beneficial. I would probably prefer, even if there's like, good people available, I'd probably prefer to just stick with the same guy for another year.
Well, at least you know Vic ain't going nowhere. So
yeah, that's good.
He's going to be here until he passes away. Sure. So I'm good with that.
Yeah.
He's here until it's going to be like Jimmy Johnson again. Like he's here until he gets cancer and dies. Like that's it. So we're cool with that. I'll take it.
Vic Fangio is going to be here aging like a Dago.
Who was it saying?
He said it. We're allowed to say it because he said it.
We're just quoting here, yeah. He ain't going nowhere.
No, I mean, he's got to stick around for the, you know, Philly season. So he can't go anywhere.
Yeah, exactly.
So all that being said, then we can wrap up the birds. What do we think then? Score prediction. We got Jaden Daniels with their hot offense coming into town. No expectations for them for this season. What do we think here? Spread's at what? Six right
it's
now?
Five and a half,
I believe.
It opened 4.5, and then I think when it was sort of confirmed that Hurts was going to be playing, then it jumped to 5.5.
That was one thing actually that made me feel good about Hurts is that, you know, the line has been pretty steady, if not going in the Eagles' favor.
Yeah,
so someone Vegas thinks he's playing.
Yeah, someone has
it's six
has
and a
sources
half right now. Wow, really? Yeah.
Oh wow. Okay. Yeah. So here's what's going to happen. First quarter, they're going to have whoever's filling in for that guy at right guard. Jalen Carter's going to just blow right by him, truck over Jaden Daniels. He's hurt. He's out. He's injured. Marcus Mariota comes in the next series. Bam, trucked him. He's out. It's going to be just like San Francisco game.
Do they also
we're going to have the Commanders fans crying about it for a year, about how they didn't get a chance with their star rookie quarterback, you know? Same old shit.
Ain't that a bitch.
Eagles, 45! Commanders, 13.
Damn.
All right.
I mean, that's just my fun, like, if that happens thing.
No, you said it.
I just, man,
you said it.
I just think that would be funny if that happened.
I think it'd be fantastic.
I'm manifesting it.
Well, I'm
Sounds
into
great.
It.
I would
it's not my
that.
Realistic that... prediction, but that's just.
I think
know,
you should keep it
for
I'm
funsies.
Really into
I mean, I'm not going to give a different one, so I'm just throwing. That's I'm throwing it out there.
That would substantially reduce my anxiety on Sunday.
Oh my god! Yeah, what they go up like 21-3 at halftime? Oh, I'll be pumped. I'm going to say I don't know. I mean, I was going to put our score in the 40s, but I had theirs more respectable though in terms of you know matching up with this. I was going to say like 42.
I think it's going to be old fashioned shootout.
I was going to say 42-31. You know, because I think Washington will get theirs. I think that, you know, it'll be pumped up in there. Again, I mean, you go out like that, you take out their top two quarterbacks. Yeah, we're going to fucking dominate that game. No big deal. But I think, as we've seen, even in the first matchup, they keep it close, even with Jaden Daniels being banged up that first time we played them. So I think 42, what did I say? 31?
Yeah.
42-31.
Yeah, I think 6.5 is big. I don't think the Eagles are going to cover that number. I think we're going to be way more stressed out and anxious than that line implies, though I hope that I am wrong. I think what we're going to see is actually that we are going to be up late in the game, and we're going to give Jaden Daniels time to come back and score, and they're going to go up 24-20 on us with like 3 minutes left, and we're going to need the Eagles to go down and score a touchdown. I think they're going to do it. I think we're going to get a 27-24 win.
Oh, my God. In the fourth quarter?
In the fourth
quarter. Oh, my God. I would kill my mom sitting in the stands. She's listening to it now already hunched over in the chair.
I might die at the link, but I think that's where we're going to see it. I think it's going to be a tight game. I'm a little worried, you know, about Hurts' health, and I think our run game might not be quite as effective as it has been because of that. But I think they're gonna eke it out and go to the Super Bowl.
All right. Well, we got 3 dubs here.
Yeah. What do you guys think about the AFC picture?
I mean,
Bills,
my
Chiefs.
My heart wants to say the Bills, but the Bills going into KC and Arrowhead again. I don't know, man. It's like Steve Young trying to get the monkey off his back. Like, I don't know if they're gonna. Is this the year? This kind of has to be the year. I feel like, you know, they've gotten here multiple times. We have arguably one of the best playoff games in our lifetime to see in terms of that Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes fight off where they just were shooting back and forth over time in the playoffs. That was incredible. You know, I envision a game not like that this year because KC's offense has been subpar to say the least all year. And I think Buffalo's defense could probably do well against KC this season. And they did that the first time they played them. They beat them this year, earlier in the year. However, or no, they didn't. Did they lose to them? Didn't they play them?
Who was Kansas City's one loss against? I don't know.
I don't think it was Buffalo. I don't know. Either way, I think it'll be a close game. I hope Buffalo ekes it out. But my gut is telling me that KC finds a way to win this shit off some bullshit penalty late in the game, and then they get a field goal, or Pat Mahomes goes for a 2-minute drive and kicks a field goal and calls it a day. But I think close game, KC pulls it off.
It was the Bills who they lost their one game
okay,
to
cool.
this year. Yeah, 30-21 on November 17th.
There were so few, it's hard to think about who it was that knocked it down. But, you know, I don't know.
That
would be tough.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not gonna pick against the Chiefs until...
Yeah.
KC and Arrowhead... like you said, 7th championship game in a row at home. Like, or, well, just about at home.
This is the 7th straight championship game they've been to, and I think
probably,
6 of them have been at home.
Okay, yeah. So they probably had at least 4 in a row. I mean,
last year they were not at home. They were in Baltimore. But I think every other game has been at home.
Yeah,
and they've
so,
won most of them.
I'll take Andy Reid and Pat Mahomes at home in the championship game. You know, it's just against Buffalo.
Just
they have
and
their
also
number.
Just the fact that... the Super Bowl matchup that almost like nobody wants aside from Eagles and Chiefs fans is Chiefs Eagles.
Yeah,
no one wants it. Which tells me that's what we're going to get.
Yeah.
That's exactly what we're going to get. Because that's the, you know, that's the good storyline rematch of a couple years ago. Can the Chiefs do the three-peat?
Now, how funny would
all
that be
shit?
Though if we do end up playing the Chiefs, right? unfortunate. Now, I'm just saying this is all hypothetical here, but right, we play Sunday. Couple key injuries happened to us, unfortunately. They got to pull up, you know who, who's still on the roster, isn't he? Is it
Nicholas Morrow? Oh, Carson Wentz.
Carson Wentz.
No,
but what roster?
Not for them.
About?
For us, isn't for James us. Bradbury still on our like practice squad?
I think technically he is.
I think he is. I think he's
still,
he comes in to save the day. He comes in the fourth quarter due to injuries in the Super Bowl, and he redeems himself with a pick in the end
pick
zone,
six.
And we win the game. That would be the perfect storyline.
Yeah.
For the rematch. Now, if it's us against the Bills, hope everyone's healthy and we have a great time. We can all party and have a good day.
Well, I mean, I would say the other perfect storyline on the flip side would be Mahomes goes down. Everyone's like, oh my God, I can't believe this. He like tore his ACL in the first quarter. Carson Wentz comes in and leads the Chiefs to victory against his old team.
God. No, fuck that.
If we lost the Super Bowl to Carson Wentz, I would just immediately walk into the Delaware.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't really imagine the more nightmarish thing. Man.
No. Philadelphia will burn.
I would be pissed.
Yeah. I don't think that Carson Wentz has that Nick Foles magic in him.
Did he get
the couple
much
times,
smaller dick?
The couple
much
times,
smaller dick.
Yeah, the couple times I've seen him play this year, I guess, you know, it was like the last game of the season.
What was that? 31-0, 31-10. Didn't even score
a
touchdown.
Yeah, every time he played,
like dog.
He
shit.
Got wrecked by the Broncos.
Which is still kind of. I mean, as much I know that like the you know, the end of the Wentz era here was pretty ugly, and he was kind of a dickhead and whatever, but
we thought he was our
say,
one at one point.
I will say there's still every time I go back and watch the 2017 Carson Wentz highlights, I'm just like how the fuck was this the same guy? Like how
he got us to the Super Bowl. Foles won it, but he got us there.
Yeah. It was nuts. I mean
if we didn't have the fucking mental capacity of a fucking peanut, he would have been fine, but that run broke his ass. Mm. The big dick Nick shit, the parade. I mean, you know, I mean that was it. It broke him. He was never the same after that run.
Yeah.
Jason Peters was calling him out. It was just, he lost everybody. He said he's in here sulking and crying all the time in the locker room. Mm-mm. Soft.
But yeah, I think it's going to be an Eagles-Chiefs Super Bowl again, sadly. I'm not ready to pick the Bills over the Chiefs until they prove me otherwise.
Yeah. I mean, they'll be in Arrowhead.
And they got the refs.
You know, yeah, they got the refs. They got the... Yeah, man.
They got the Swift Devil Magic out there as well. She's out there doing her thing. They had Caitlin Clark out there last week, too, for no fucking reason.
Yeah, she's out there. Is she, like, actually a Chiefs fan, or did she just get the invite?
Well, Iowa doesn't really have it. Iowa doesn't have a team.
She's from Iowa.
Yeah, so I guess they just pick whoever they want in the Midwest.
I think it's the closest team, I guess.
Yeah, I actually remember when I was in, because this is funny, because I was actually in Iowa during the first Chiefs-Niners Super Bowl. I was there for like the, doing
campaign.
Bernie shit. Yeah, it was the Iowa, for the Iowa caucus or whatever. And it did seem like it was big, like Chiefs territory. Even
makes
before
sense.
They were like a bandwagon team, you know, it was
there's nothing
like,
else out there.
You got
nothing.
Yeah, what's your closest? Maybe Illinois, right? Are they next to it? If we go fucking Chicago.
I guess it depends where in Iowa you are. Maybe if you're like in the north, you
like
might be a Bears fan.
Grand Rapids, I think.
Could we put that on a map?
I don't know. Well, I don't really know much about the Iowa geography. I just remember
they gave us Cooper
eating
the
at a Perkins late at night.
Yeah, they got Cooper out there.
That's true.
But, yeah, that wraps up for the Birds, though. Three dubs. Some are close. Some are a blowout. Some are right in between.
Yeah, so I guess what else do we want to go on to here? The Billy Wagner's Philly's legend.
Fucking time,
Billy's
honestly.
Legend, Billy Wagner. I had no idea that he was even, like,
it was
in
his
the
last
running.
Year of eligibility.
Oh, was it? So maybe he got the pity votes.
Yeah, it was year 10 for him.
Yeah, they were like, come on, man, get in there. Finally. You got it. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I saw Ichiro Suzuki, I think, was one shy of being unanimous. Who was the one dickhead?
There's always one dickhead. There's always one dickhead.
Yeah.
Someone just making a protest vote, being like, I'm not going to let him get a unanimous.
Yeah, there's always those guys, those like old curmudgeon-y dudes who have that thing where it's, You know, obviously he's a Hall of Famer, but I don't think he's a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Like,
that's like a different thing. It's like they still get the same fucking plaque and everything. It's like, yeah, whatever.
Well, he is a first ballot Hall of Famer, but he's not a unanimous Hall of Famer.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's literally just because there hasn't been one. So there's like people who are like, I'm not going to let this happen.
I'm not going to be the guy. Right. Yeah.
I'm going to be the guy that lets us in. You know,
yeah, Ichiro is fucking awesome, though.
He was sick.
Ichiro.
Yeah, there's really no reason that you should not vote for him, and whoever that is an asshole.
CeCe Sabathia. CeCe Sabathia. Oh, I need to see him get in there. I'll take that.
Saw him live once. I remember,
he was great.
I remember back in, like, I guess this was probably 2010, maybe, or maybe 2009. I don't know. It was like, I was still living in New York, and we were playing the Yankees up there, and I had tickets to see Halliday versus Sabathia, and that game was one of those like three games a year where Halliday just didn't have it and got shellacked. And of course, the other two games was Jamie Moyer and Kyle Kendrick, and they both won. I was like, I went to like Sabathia Halliday, and it fucking sucked. But that the one thing I remember from that game was I was like, you know, all the way at the top, and there was this one drunk Phillies fan up there. Who every time the Phillies were batting and like Sabathia had to throw a pitch, he'd just be like, hit him in the head. he was just like, if he hits him in the head, then we get on base and he gets thrown out of the game. So he just kept saying that like over and over again, like, hit him in the head. It's like, great, you know.
That's Philly fans.
Quite
right
a
there
strategy, game plan there.
They're always thinking outside the box, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
One player might die, but then CeCe's out of the game.
CeCe's out of the game, yeah.
We're back in there.
But yeah, the Flyers, what are they up to now? They're playing the Red Wings as we speak.
Well, they won three of their last five, which is not bad.
Game is tied at 1-1 in the third.
Beat the Devils. That was a, right?
Yeah, that was a good, that was a good solid game. Yeah, Devils are a good team. Yeah, they've looked pretty good.
They beat a lot of solid opponents recently.
Yeah,
the goaltending's been a little better lately. Which is nice. I mean, they still statistically have the worst goaltending in the league by a pretty wide margin. I saw some stat today that was showing, I think it was like goals saved above expected or one of those. And the Flyers are at the bottom with like minus 21 or something. And I think the next team was only like minus 15 or something. It was like a pretty wide gap. So... You know, Urson's been looking all right. Fedotov's been looking okay. So, you know, I think if they can start to get some consistency there, they have a shot at making the wild card. It's a very crowded field right now. I think it's like the Senators, and I forget who else are currently in that spot. And then the next six teams are only separated by like 4 points or something. So. Still very up in the air.
At least they're making it fun, though. They're keeping games close. They're not
they
getting blown out.
They have been fun to watch, yeah.
You know? I mean, they've been enough that you're like, maybe they could beat whoever they're playing, and we'll see how they do. You know, I think that's one of the more fun parts about watching a team with no expectation that gets a little warm. You know, I'm going to say they're hot right now, but they're playing good enough that you're like, all right, they lose by one, no big deal. It's not really an ugly game. That's kind of like the fun little sweet spot of a team to watch when their little nucleus is just growing, you know?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, all they had to do to be competent is, like, not have historically awful goaltending, which is, like, what they were riding for a while.
I mean, every year it's just something, I mean...
There's, like, one thing that goes wrong that's like, the worst thing we've ever seen since, like, 1995.
Yeah, I mean...
It's the power play last year.
Last year it was, like, even if they just had, like, a... bad power play and not the worst ever power play, they'd probably be in the playoffs. Yeah. And this year, it's like if they just had like kind of not great goaltending instead of
the worst goaltending in the last 30 years,
then they'd be probably in a playoff spot. But yeah, I mean, there's always something.
I don't know what the fancy stats say, but I know like 3 weeks ago, their team save percentage was 872, which is like if you had that over a season would be like the worst year since like 1995.
Yeah.
And the next worst team after them was at 882, so like a full percentage point higher than them. The gap between them at 32 and the next team at 31 was the same as the gap between the team at 31 and the team at 19.
Jesus.
So they were just like on a whole other level of horrific. Yeah. And it's like, yeah, no wonder you've fallen out of the playoff race when, like, your goaltending has been that bad. But, yeah, I mean, I think Ersin, you know, getting healthier obviously has helped with that. And, you know, Fedotov establishing himself is not horrible. I don't want to say much more than that yet, but
yeah, at least
okay as a number two.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it kind of remains to be seen with Ersin. Like, health has been a problem. He's had, you know, the same kind of injuries flare up again. I feel like I've always kind of viewed him as his ceiling being, like, a good backup. I feel like Fedotov is probably the same. Like, his ceiling is probably, like, a good backup, and if that's, like, the two guys that you have.
You have two backup goalies.
Probably not. Yeah, I think that's basically where we're at. So we don't really have a real starting caliber goalie.
Ersin has really flashed.
Yeah, he has moments. But I also feel like this is kind of by design.
Yeah.
You know, the Flyers were not in a position where they were going to go out and give up assets for a goaltender. Especially when they do have some guys coming in the pipeline. They obviously got kind of screwed over with the whole Carter Hart thing.
No one expects that shit to hit
you. That's like, yeah. You know, so I can't really blame the organization for kind of being, lacking in that area. But, hopefully we'll be, saved by our new Russian savior, Igor Zvragin.
Yeah, he's killing it.
He is killing it. But probably be good three more years before we see him. He is only 19, so you know.
Yeah, it's hard to blame the franchise. You think you have your answer, and then it turns out he's maybe a sex offender. And
he's a fucking creep. Yeah.
You know, that's how it goes sometimes.
You think you know a guy, and
that's just how the cookie crumbles.
Does some weird shit with the boys in the hotel room. You're like, fuck. Yeah. All right, well, bad. Mm-mm. But. Classic Philadelphia sports franchise, right? You're on the up and up. You think you got everything going, and then bam, not yet.
Do you think they're going to sell off at the trade deadline?
I'm skeptical. I mean, Breer had like a press conference today where he was kind of giving some updates on that, and I guess
Risto, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, Ristolainen's probably the best trade candidate that they have, and. You know, I guess he was kind of playing it close to the vest, as you would expect, but basically said they're not actively shopping him. And I guess it's one of those things where if they got blown away by an offer, then they would entertain it. He, he still has multiple years left on his deal, so it's not like a team would just be getting him as a rental. So, you know, you'd have to get a pretty big haul to let him go. And he has been pretty good this year. I mean, he's been... You know, surprisingly good since they got him. I think a lot of that has to do with Bradshaw, the way he's been able to coach up these defensive guys. But yeah, definitely. I mean, I don't think he plays into the long term plan. I think they're definitely going to be looking to ship him off at some point. It's just
Does it make sense to do it now? Yeah.
I don't know if they're going to get the kind of deal they want at the deadline. It seems like it'd be more for a guy who has. That much time remaining on his contract, it seems like he'd be more likely to be in the off season when teams are really trying to retool their rosters and figure things out for the long term.
Yeah, I mean, I think if they can get a first round pick for him, they definitely move him. If not, they might hold on and wait and see how things shake out.
Yeah, that's kind of what I expect.
He is a great success story, though. I mean, like, when we acquired him, like, that was panned league-wide in the fact that he's actually, like, turned into a competent defenseman who has value now.
He had,
like,
a 13th overall pick, I think, for him, yeah. But, yeah. Yeah, he's been – they've turned him around a little bit. What else has been going on with them? Rodrigo
– A-Balls?
A-Balls? A-Balls?
A-Balls.
I like that A-Balls. Name. A-Balls, yeah, man.
Ebbles. I think it's, like, Ebbles.
The A has a little – over the top, so I don't know what that means.
He's Latvian.
Ah. Well, I like A-Balls. I think it's a good A-Balls. Last name.
They just put a hyphen.
Let's put a Z at the
A-Balls.
End.
A-Balls.
Yeah. How many balls you got? A-Balls. So is that still one or two? It's hard to tell. You don't know. But yeah, 29-year-old rookie. All right.
Yeah,
so
you know,
take whatever. That. Cool.
See what happens.
Sick. All right.
Yeah.
He's like, the coach, take him? He goes, well, I'll tell you what, they said, just don't think. Just get on the ice, don't think at all, just play. I was like, damn, smoking like a true 29-year-old rookie, just getting out there. Just get out there, big guy. Don't think about it too much, don't worry about it.
Yeah,
We'll see.
We'll see how they do. Finish up this game, you know. But, yeah, that's about it for the Flyers. The Sixers suck ass. Yeah, God.
Miserable.
They're bad.
Miserable.
I don't even know what to say about this team anymore. Embiid has that foot sprain. He's out for a while. Finally, it seems like that's dying down. He's about to be cleared to come back. And then the knee is swelling again. So now he's going to be out for, I mean, I guess it was initially what they say, 7 to 10 days. And that was a few, you know.
They said he will be reevaluated in 7 to 10 days.
Yeah, so who knows how long he'll be out. I don't know, man. It just can't really get any worse. I don't really know. I mean, I guess at this point, it's all just what do you think is the deal long term? I mean, this season, I don't really know how you can salvage it at this point. They'd be lucky to be in the play-in the way things are going. So I feel like it's the conversation's more about the long term, and is there any hope whatsoever that Embiid is ever going to be able to return to the player that he has been the past few years or whatever? I'm not feeling good about that.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think his best days are behind him. I mean, I think he'll probably get games where he has flashes of it, which is great. You know, he might, you know, you got some scrub team coming to town, he does his thing and it's okay, but I would be hard pressed to believe that we see anything that we've, you know, on a consistent night to night basis of what we were used to with Embiid from an MVP caliber player. I think that the last 2 years of him trying to be that guy, you're seeing the ramifications of that now, where like even just little things are lingering way too long, or his body's just given out, which is fine. You know, all respect to Embiid. I mean, he did his thing. It's hard for a center to lead a team to a championship, especially when they don't really build around you in the way that you probably should build around somebody with that kind of skill set. It sucks to see. It's kind of sad, honestly, in a way. Like, yeah, they suck. Okay, whatever. Like, we've seen plenty of years of Philly sports teams that couldn't get it done, that had expectation, no big deal. But to see it happen this way, it's just kind of just sad to see him on the sideline and, you know, no one's really playing. And you brought Paul George in, but he's not really playing all the time. And then McCain goes down and Maxie's hurt all the time. It's like, damn, yeah, this is just
– it's just grim.
It's grueling.
It's grim. And it's like it's, yeah, it sucks because it even looks like, you know, Maxie is just demoralized at this point, which is just awful to see. He's like the guy you can usually count on to be mm-hmm. the upbeat, you know.
The little smile every game. Is kind of cheery. Line.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And he just looks like he's been
– I feel like reality's sunken in now. He's like, I can't, fuck.
Yeah,
he probably sees the big picture and realizes it's not looking so good right now.
Yeah, it's also especially, you know, gut-wrenching to see how great the Oklahoma City Thunder are doing and just think like, man, if fucking Adam Silver and his fucking cronies didn't stick their nose in our fucking business and just let Sam Hinkie finish what he started, maybe things would be different right now.
Yeah.
But no, they got to fuck over the Sixers. Adam Silver is a terrorist.
Mm.
You know.
And we're all just processing
the trauma.
Yeah, things look pretty grim at this point. It's tough to feel otherwise.
Yeah, I don't even know. Like, I can't even start thinking about, like, what they're going to do in the off season or what kind of moves. I have no idea. Cause like everything that they build up to this point has been predicated on the fact you're going to have Embiid being Embiid for the next 3 years or whatever, or maybe even the next 1 or 2 years. And yeah, I don't know. I just don't know what the fuck they do now.
Unless the big plan,
and even if they tank, they do need to, I mean, what is their, that pick that they traded?
Their pick is top six protected. Yeah. So if it falls out of the top six, it goes to OKC. So I think they, in order to guarantee they get the pick, they actually would have to finish with one of the top two worst records in the league. That's the only way that it's 100%, which is almost impossible because there's some like real
there's some
bad
stiff
teams.
Competition for that. Yeah, exactly.
Real
yeah.
bad teams who are very shamelessly like, tanking.
They might fall right into that zone where the the pick, they get like six
it's gone,
or seven.
You get
and
nothing.
The pick goes to OKC.
I think if they're at like the sixth worst record, they have like a 67% chance of keeping the pick or something. I don't know, but yeah, and they're in a very weird place where they're like they're still only like two games out of the play-in tournament. But at the same time, they're like four games out of having like a top five worst record in the league. And like, it's like, which direction do you decide to go in? I think their hand is going to be kind of forced because they're like, hey, Embiid's out now for another 7 to 10 days. And like, they're playing a bunch of really good teams. They have games against, you know, they just play the Bucks. They're playing the Cavs. Mm-hmm. They're playing the Celtics. Like, they're going to eat shit.
They're playing Denver tonight.
Yeah, they're playing Denver tonight. They're going to like eat shit in these games. And I think it's going to push them in the direction of like, okay, yeah, well, like maybe we just shut Embiid down. Maybe we like shut Paul George down and we just eat shit and try to keep our pick. There's also a lot of chatter about like, could they make a trade with the Thunder? You know, give them Gershon Yabusele, for instance, and like change the protections on the pick and make it, you know, whatever, top 10 protected instead of top 6 protected. I think something like that could be interesting.
That would make sense. That'd be the most viable option, I feel like, at this point. Because we didn't get anybody healthy for the playoffs, and then it'd be fucking tear something even worse, and he's out for half the next year.
We literally don't even know if he can get healthy for the playoffs right now. I mean, he's just out. Every time he tries to come back, he suffers a setback.
Yeah.
I think I'm on the shutdown mode, honestly. I think they should. What the fuck's the point? You know, you're going to play, and the East is pretty, you know, they're not easy to play.
If they lose this pick, like, they have very few avenues for improving the team next year. Like, they're, like,
but
very cap-strapped.
But should help, though. That's the only thing that would be the benefit, right? Is that you're potentially healthier?
Will they? I mean, I don't know. When you're talking about Embiid as the main person who is healthy and worried about, like, there's not really a guarantee that rest is going to fix this. You know, I'm definitely pretty concerned at this point. He just has, like, chronic degenerative disease in his knee and, like...
Yeah, it almost reminds me of, like,
something he
Chase Utley when he would, you know, have that, you know, he'd just be out for half the season every year and never was quite the same.
Yeah, I mean, you know, last year, obviously, he had the meniscus tear. He had a meniscectomy in that left knee. That was the second time he had one of those. He had one in his rookie year, too, back in 2017. So, like, we don't know how much meniscus the guy has left. And, you know, every time they take it out, like, that's gone forever. And you're just at increased risk of having, you know, arthritis and chronic degenerative disease in that joint. And
he's not a small guy, you know.
No, he's huge.
All that pressure and
7 foot, 300 pounds, like it's a lot of force on that joint. I mean, you know, you can look at what Lonzo Ball's been going through for 2 or 3 years now. Like, he's finally back playing for Chicago, but he's a small guard,
perimeter three and pointer, like, no big deal.
It took him years to come back from recurrent meniscus injuries, and like, he's not. Yeah. He's half the size that Embiid is.
And not going through all the fucking wear. I mean, Embiid.
And way younger.
He gets in there and gets, everyone's taking a shot, hitting him up. I mean, you know, it's just the name of the position. But yeah, it's been a morbid, it's like a slow, painful thing to watch. Because you're constantly, I mean, every week we come on, we're like, oh, they win 4 games. You're like, all right, maybe they're like, you know, could do at least something. There's no expectation of grandeur, right? Yeah. There's no championship in the horizon. We're just like, well, playoff team, it could be fun and make it interesting and okay, fine, no big deal. But even that's getting more and more hard to believe. The team just doesn't have the juice. There's no excitement. The games look half empty when you see them when they're playing at home. Like, it just, it's so odd compared to what we were used to the last 2-3 years, you know, with MVP caliber and Embiid and everyone. I don't know, it's just sad.
Yeah, I mean, the only hope at this point is if they can you know, figure out some way to use artificial intelligence to replace his meniscus. Like, I finally put some...
We can't 3D print that thing?
I know. I'm always just, like, amazed that they can't just put something... Like, you can't just, like, shove some gummy bears and some little jelly beans in there.
Put some Big League Chew in there. That shit never goes away. Yeah,
that is what Lonzo Ball had done, ultimately. I mean, not gummy bears or Big League Chew, but he had meniscus transplant, which is, like, not a thing that has been seen much in the NBA and is, like, a pretty rare medical procedure. But he couldn't come back from his injuries, so eventually they're like, yeah, here's a dead guy's meniscus we're going to just put in your knee. And he's back now. I don't know how long it's going to hold. All right,
let me go. Now we're talking.
How long did it take him to recover from that?
I mean, I think the timeline for recovering from that is, like, many months, like 6 to 8 months.
You need a 7-foot something man that died to... Okay,
yeah, cool. He's a guard, like, and there's been... I think he, as far as I know, he's the only NBA player who's had this surgery done.
For Embiid, would he need, like, a guy his size to die?
I mean, not necessarily, right. Like, it could just, you know... Everyone's meniscus is...
Guess I'm walking around with one leg then. If someone has to do it, take it out.
Yeah, you can donate your meniscus to Joel Embiid. If we add up our menisci, like, they'll be big enough for him.
super fan. I love the idea of a guy who's just, if that was like a thing that just you could do to just offer your
donate body parts.
There's just some like super fan is just missing all kinds of, he's just no limbs anymore. He's just like in like a Stephen Hawking type state. Yeah.
Just this is awesome. Yeah.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Just donating, just giving him all of it.
Derek Hall's biggest fan only has 9 fingers. I said, hold on now.
Yeah. Oh, he's got 2 thumbs now. Yeah. You know what we haven't talked about? Speaking of the Sixers, we haven't talked about that we're going up against Josh Harris in the NFC Championship.
You saw the guy drawing a bike that says 10-9-8, fuck Josh Harris?
Oh, yeah. He's just been touring around the city with this 10-9-8, fuck Josh Harris sign.
I saw a thing from the Chicken Man, the South Philly Chicken Man.
Oh, yeah.
You saw that picture? Somebody put a picture of the Chicken Man that ate all those rotisserie chickens for like so many days in a row in a Washington like jacket.
That was actually from like 2 years ago. They did that like when he initially did the chicken thing.
He's still disgraced.
Yeah, he's still mad, as he should be.
Eating the eagle head?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He said this is the revenge for that
game. This is the revenge game right here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they did him dirty like 2 years ago, and he's out for revenge now.
Big game. I'll take that. Wait for your revenge on a large scale, you know, the big stage. Be doing this shit in the regular season. I'll take that on Sunday. But yeah, Josh Harris coming back to town. Fuck that guy, honestly.
Yeah, they're they have a game at home on Friday.
The Sixers?
I think so, yeah.
Probably.
Yeah.
Looking forward to some fuck Josh Harris chance, which at least should be happening every game, regardless of what's going on with the Eagles, you know. But
it should happen.
Could you just imagine?
Oh, no. Don't even say it.
You just imagine.
Don't even say it.
If the fucking the Commanders win and we get to see fucking Josh Harris coming out on the field, putting his little NFC championship hat on.
I don't even have a snowball to throw.
Disgusting.
It'd be too warm.
Lewd. Awful.
Yeah, I will, again, I will walk into the Delaware.
Yeah. Ugh. I mean, goddamn. It is just so insane that he, owning the Devils is one thing. It's like, I mean, that is a rival, but it's not quite, you know, it's not the same as having an NFC East.
That's the fear about, like, Jerry Jones can never die. He has to never, like, you change ownership like that, dude, 1 year, it's like, holy shit, they're in the fucking championship game, like, fuck that.
They've already made it further than the Sixers have ever made it under his ownership.
Every team, what was the thing that I just saw this week, too? It was like 1996 was the last time Dallas made the championship game. Every team in the NFC East has made it to at least one since then.
I think every other team in the NFL has made it.
Yeah. Although, Eagles, too, since 2001 have been to the most NFC championship games, so I'll take that, too.
We have been kind of spoiled.
The unsung hero of the NFC has been kind of the Eagles, I will say. Been kind of top dog. But yeah, fuck Josh Harris. That would be unbearable.
I'm shuddering thinking about it. If we have to watch him celebrate an NFC championship win in the link, I'm gonna cry.
The problem is Daniels is likable, too. He's not like an asshole.
No, sucks. He's awesome.
Yeah, no.
I wish we had more villains on that team, but I didn't even see this coming. So I'm like, fuck Austin Eckler. Like, I don't know. Like,
I was watching this, I've been watching this Netflix documentary. I think it was like, it's kind of old. It's probably like a year old or something, but it's about these TikTok dancers that get sucked into this cult.
Oh, I've seen that shit.
The 7M.
Yes, it's
cult.
Some old dude is like hiring them and stuff.
I don't know. It's basically like this this pastor in like Los Angeles or whatever has this one of these like cult ass churches or whatever, and I guess the way that he ended up reeling in all of these like TikTok like Instagram dancer influencer people to joining the church because like his son was a videographer for a bunch of these people, so they all get like sucked into this cult and stuff, and like the whole thing follows. This one girl that gets sucked into the cult, and they're like interviewing her sister because it's like they like once they're in, they like completely cut off their family and all this shit. And, because she was talking about, it was so sad because, you know, before like me and my sister had talked about how we wanted to be each other's maids of honor at our wedding and all this kind of stuff. And, you know, while she was in like the, you know, in this cult, She, like, you know, I ended up meeting a great guy or whatever. And without really mentioning who the guy was, it just shows us pictures of them, their wedding photos and stuff. And it's fucking Austin Eckler. And, like, this girl's married to Austin Eckler. I was like, wait, what the – wait, hold on. And then I looked up, and sure enough, it's like, yeah, Austin Eckler's wife is the sister of this girl that
cult chick.
Got sucked into this weird, like – TikTok dancer.
Damn. Well, then we did find a new enemy number one then.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I don't know. Nothing wrong with Austin Eckler.
Nah, I can't. No, see, this is brain games. I can riff on that in the tunnel. I'm good to go. Damn, dog. Yeah,
your sister-in-law's
in the cult. She's in the cult.
No, I don't know if she's still in the cult. I still have one more episode to go.
Well, let me know before Sunday.
Yeah. Brian Robinson did talk a lot of shit. So, I mean, we can't hate on the Commanders running
Brian
backs.
Brian Robinson
talked shit? Yeah, he was, after they lost the first game to the Eagles, were like, we were the better team. Like,
we should have
won
shit.
That game. And it's like, you got killed. Like, you were not the better team.
It was
like,
not that close.
It was not that close. If anything, the Eagles should have won by more.
You gotta send someone
out. And then after they won the second game, he was like, I told you, like, we're better than they are.
You took out your, yeah, okay, we're good to go with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just sent a desperate man to go up to Brian Robinson and be like, yo, remember this?
Can we hire the guy that shot the guy from San Fran?
Yeah. Hire the guy who shot him.
Yeah.
Get him out of jail. Yeah. Like Meek.
Maybe he got farted on the last.
Yeah, just like they brought him in the helicopter.
Yeah,
have Jeffrey Lurie bring the guy who shot Brian Robinson in jail on a helicopter.
Full Bane moment.
Just fly in the helicopter right straight into the link on the field.
Your honorary was like the honorary captain for the Eagles.
Going nuts. Eagles.
The honorary captain. Everyone's like, oh shit.
Yeah, he's out there doing the coin toss with his jail clothes still on. Jeffrey Lurie just got a match.
Jeffrey Lurie has a chance to do the funniest shit right now this weekend coming up. Damn.
Oh, fuck. I don't know. Anything else going on? What's going on? TikTok's back. That didn't last
TikTok
long.
TikTok is at least in limbo.
It's gone for like 16 hours.
Yeah.
We did see a spike.
Our glorious President Trump.
Yes, our true leader here.
Cutting deals. That was like the biggest self-own by the Democrats, because that was kind of their thing. They pushed it through and Biden kept it up, and then they just pretty much just served this easy win for Trump on a silver platter to have, like, going in. Yeah,
whose idea it literally big was to start this.
Exactly.
He started this.
He started it.
It became unpopular. The Dems then took credit and then gave it back to him to cancel.
Yeah.
Is he doing
masterclass.
Yeah. 40
yeah. chess.
That's just the art of the deal
exactly.
right there.
Yeah, that's exactly baby. The art of the deal.
How's Butchie's social media career taking off?
Oh, yeah.
Doing good. She's probably going to be more popular than the podcast pretty soon.
Definitely. I mean, you can't get people with a cat.
Yeah.
Let alone a cute little cat like that.
Can't, yeah.
It's just unbeatable.
Yeah, I mean, the cat videos are, you know, a universal language, whereas only so many people care
They're
about
top tier. Whenever I see one on any platform, I'm like, let me just wait real quick and just watch this little cat fall off the stairs and land on its feet. Be like, no one saw that? Okay. They're cute. Just something about them. There's this little Siamese cat I follow. Yeah. What's his name? Gary? Something like that.
Yeah,
he meows and jumps up with his little back legs and, like, kind of walks crookedly. Like, he walks on an angle. That's the sell.
Yeah, we were fucking...
That's enough.
Sold.
Yeah, like, Spruha and I came across this one, like, Instagram video wherever, and it's, like, these people who have, like, you know, their cat's Instagram, and it was, like, how much money we made from our pets this year. And it just went month by month, and it was like 10,000, like 20,000, like just crazy numbers. And we were just like, we got to put this cat to work. Hey, man, she's got to start pulling her weight around the house.
After every video, Butchie's like, you don't see the cigarette and the fucking bottle of Jameson she's putting down every day after the videos all day.
Yeah.
She's like, oh my God, another fucking...
No, that's fine. She's in the union. She's SA, you know, Screen Actors Guild.
That's hysterical.
Gets all the craft services, the food, you know, all that. But yeah, I guess it was our our moment on Zhao Hongshu was kind of short lived.
Oh,
I
mean, man,
I guess
yeah.
I still have the account. I guess I'll post there, but it's not set up with like the thing we use, so I have to do it manually. It's kind of a pain. So, but maybe once in a while, I'll throw something on there.
Yeah, you still got to tap into that Chinese market.
I mean, could get some Birds fans over in China. Why not?
There's a bunch in Japan I've been following. There's specific bar in Japan that like throws down for every
game. Think I saw a video of them outside the afterward. Yeah, I think I saw
all
that.
Their shit now. Their food looks great. You know, it's awesome. They got a big following out there. Well, in this one little bar. But
yeah.
They throw down every game. And they got to wake up at like, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it'd
I
be...
Whatever time
I can't
is.
Imagine
they're
what the hours
fucked.
Are.
Yeah, fucked up, but they're there. They're proud.
Yeah, I mean, how... What is the time difference in Japan? I'm curious. Time difference. It's
9:20 like here right 11 now.
11-hour difference, maybe? No. Yeah?
So Japan is 14 hours ahead. So, yeah. So it's pretty much... So the 3 o'clock game would be starting at 5 a.m.? Yeah.
That's kind of cool, though, because then you wake up and start your date that way.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of the same, like, you know, people in the U.S. who follow, like, European soccer and stuff.
I mean, one of the most memorable Eagles
not
games...
Not the same time difference, but...
I've ever similar. Watched was in the 2017 season, the game, the, like, Thursday night game they had against the Panthers. I was in Berlin, Germany. So I, like, stayed up until, like, 5 a.m. until the game on and watched it and was drunk as hell watching, you know, watching them win that game.
They almost lost it, but they pulled that one off.
It was a fantastic game. Fucking Nigel Bradham went ham that game.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I remember. Yeah, I remember. Like Nick was on his honeymoon when the Phillies won the World Series or something. Yeah. But
I got China. Nothing else.
Yeah,
or China.
Yeah, gonna keep trying to grow the base there. But I guess that will just about do it for us here tonight, everybody. Please. Leave us a 5-star rating and review after your podcast. Give us a subscribe on YouTube. Follow on Twitter, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook. Send us an email at citywidepod@gmail.com. And from all of us at the Citywide,
let me hear you all say ELES! ELES!